You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. So today, we got a little something different going on. If you remember, a week ago or so, I did a little series going through each of the position groups and how each group ranked in the NFC North, you know, quarterbacks in the NFC North, etc., etc. And by the end of it, I said, okay, turns out I'm extremely biased because I have the Packers in the top of just about every category. So I said, you know what would be fun is if I got some other people on board. Well, I had a little chat with Mr. Zach Pearson. He runs the Bear Report podcast, a part of the Overtime Podcast Network. We obviously didn't agree on everything, although it was probably a little closer than I would have expected. I think that's true in most cases. I say I don't like Twitter, but apparently that's my only source of interacting with people about football. So I just assume that that's real life. But pretty much everybody I've talked to, and I had a conversation with one of the Vikings guys in the network. I'm hoping to get him on soon, but he just sent me his list. And I was pretty surprised how similar they were. I think one of the biggest differences is going to be quarterbacks. I haven't talked to the Lions guy yet, but I'd be willing to bet everyone in the division, with the exception of Packers fans, thinks their quarterback is second best. But as long as they all bend the knee to Aaron Rodgers, I don't really care. No, but it was a really good chat and super insightful as well. I really like to know what's going on with other teams around the NFL, especially in the NFC North. And so we get a little peek behind the curtain. Anyways, it's really long, so we'll skip preliminaries. However, we will take our break. We'll do it now. And when we come back, we're just going to launch right into it. But again, this is Zach Pearson, Bear Report Podcast, also bearreport.com. We'll be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 Security declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, so if you could just give us, I guess, without going too much into position stuff because we're going to get into that, but kind of just give an overview if there's any kind of new stuff from training camp or anything that you've been hearing. Injuries, guys that are standing out, guys that are maybe lagging a little bit, or just any kind of information that we're not really sure about as far as the Bears.
Yeah, as far as things we're unsure of, I'd say arguably the biggest things have to be the injuries. When Trey Burton missed that playoff game last year, it was kind of a shocker to a lot of us because we didn't find out until about, an hour before the game was set to take place. And then Matt Nagy revealed that he had sports hernia surgery. He's going to miss most of the offseason. He should be ready to go at some point in training camp. But if Trey Burton's not healthy, the Bears are going to have some questions behind him depth-wise. Adam Shaheen hasn't been able to stay healthy in his 2 years. And Ben Braunecker is a solid third tight end, but you can't really count on him to be a standout in this offense. As you saw, the Bears got no production at all from the tight end position in their playoff loss. So I'd say Trey Burton is probably the biggest, question mark right now in terms of injury wise. We knew Anthony Miller was going to have shoulder surgery, played pretty much with a bum shoulder all of last season. He should be fine to go for training camp. Other than that, someone like Emmanuel Hall, who I thought had a good shot at making this roster out of Missouri, just a burner at wide receiver. He also had sports hernia surgery. So you know, he's going to miss most of the offseason. He's actually kind of a guy I think that's a candidate to be, you know, IR'd right away and not put on the practice squad so that other teams can poke him, because, I mean, there's a lot of hype around him coming out of Missouri from the SEC. And when we talked to Mike Fury, he was kind of shocked at, you know, he went undrafted, and he was saying, yeah, we can't really spend a pick on you right now, but if you're there, you know, when the draft's over, we're going to go out and get you. And that's what happened. He just sounded kind of shocked, which was interesting. Obviously, the big storyline going into training camp, though, is going to be the offense and Mitchell Trubisky. Can he take that next step? How's this offense going to develop under Matt Nagy in the second year? you know, we saw with and not to really fully compare, because I think they're both two different head coaches, but, you know, when Mark Trestman was here, the Bears kind of found success in that first year before things just spiraled downhill, where he lost the locker room and, you know, he was letting veterans do stuff that they shouldn't have been doing. And I think Matt Nagy's kind of got a better grip on this locker room and this franchise in his second year. So that's the biggest storyline that a lot of us in Chicago are following, because, you know, we know what we have in this defense here. I mean, I'm sure the rest of the NFC North knows what the Bears have, you know, on defense. It's just going to be that offense, and can they take that next step?
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to ask you about that too, because I've said on the podcast before, I think not only was this the best defense in 2018, it might have been the best over the last, I don't know, five-ish years or so. But I'm also feeling like if it's me and I'm a Bears fan, I'm a little bit nervous, especially losing Vic Fangio, because I've been, it's weird for a Packers podcast, but I've been gushing over him for 2 years that I've been doing this podcast, just in awe of what he's done. I would be in a little bit of a panic mode. It, you know, at least insofar as please don't let this fall apart, because this is the core of what we do. But yet I don't see any worry or anything about Bears fans. If anything, it's, you know, we're just going to grow and keep getting better. Is that kind of where Bears fans are at, or is there any hesitation or fear going into 2019 and beyond?
Yeah, I'd say there's a little. Obviously, you know, it's kind of normal to have some fear after, just because, you know, the NFL, it's such a hard, you know, league to kind of replicate what you did the past season. And I mean, the Bears were the best defense last year, and a lot of people forget they were probably a top 10, if not one of the better defenses in 2017. And they go and add Khalil Mack, it's like, okay, now they got, you know, a stud defense that should be good for years to come. They obviously lose Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan, which, you know, the verdict's still going to be out on those, because we don't know what we're going to get from Clinton Dix. We have no clue what we're going to get from Buster Skrine.
Right.
So it's tough to say in that part. But, yeah, I'd say it wouldn't be normal if there wasn't a little, you know, fear. I mean, you look at this division, and yeah, you know, you have Aaron Rodgers, who is arguably the best quarterback in football. I mean, there's no way around it. As long as he's in the game, I think Green Bay has a chance to win. Look at a guy like Matthew Stafford, who he played with a broken back last season. He's put up some decent numbers over his time. And then Kirk Cousins, whether, you know, I'm sure you like to tease Vikings fans as we do about how much money they paid him. I mean, all it takes, you know, maybe he gets hot for a couple strings of games, but you have to feel comfortable if you're the Bears, you know, with that defense going into those matchups. And granted, Aaron Rodgers has terrorized, you know, the Bears for as long as, you know, he's been in the league. I think, you know, having a defense like this, I can finally, and I know I can kind of guess to speak for a lot of Bears fans, you can kind of feel comfortable in a way. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, the Bears would go out and dominate Aaron Rodgers. We all saw what he did in week one last year. I mean, that was just an incredible performance. But it's like there's like a certain sense of, like, okay, yeah, you know, maybe he's not going to be able to do that a lot more like he has been in the past. But, yeah, losing Vic Fangio, I mean, we're going to find out right away, because I think Chuck Pagano's going to be more aggressive with his blitzes, more aggressive in the secondary. I think being more aggressive in the secondary actually benefits the Bears, as weird as that sounds, compared to what Vic Fangio did. Because, you know, I talked to Kyle Fuller during OTAs and kind of asked him, you know, what was it that clicked? And, you know, he said a couple weeks in, we just started getting more aggressive back there. We started, you know, taking more chances on balls, and we were rewarded. If, you know, you remember that Green Bay game, I'm sure you do. The Bears kind of sat back and let, you know, a one-legged Aaron Rodgers pick them apart. And many of us thought, you know, why don't you, you know, send some pressure? Why don't you send the blitz? And the same was against Tom Brady. I think that's one of my biggest You know, at the time, worries with Vic Fangio was, you know, why didn't he send the blitz? I think it's going to be the complete opposite of Chuck Pagano. I just hope it doesn't turn to the point where it's like, why is Chuck Pagano blitzing all the damn time?
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, and it's going to be kind of weird. Vic Fangio had that thing dialed in so perfectly that it kind of seemed like a well-oiled machine, but I can definitively tell you that the thought of the Bears being more aggressive, it's like, come on, man. Just it's not even fair. You guys are doing enough. Just lay off a little bit. But, yeah, you kind of mentioned quarterbacks, so let's dive in and kind of go. And, you know, we don't have to go super deep. Some of it's kind of boring, like offensive line, but just whatever you think about it, I kind of want to just step back a little bit because I've already said my piece about it. Just to kind of go position by position and just see how you think the lay of the land is as far as the position group. So we'll start with quarterback. I think, at least in my mind, the biggest question is Trubisky. And there's not just between Packers and Bears fans, there's a lot of disagreement outside of that group as far as, you know, ranging from, I'm just going to call it ridiculous, is he better than Aaron Rodgers, to he's terrible. Kind of where are Bears fans on Trubisky in the comfort level, and then just the scope of quarterbacks through the NFC North? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, every day it's a battle. It seems like there's a battle on Twitter. I know I'm pretty sure you're referencing that article that someone wrote saying, you know, is Trubisky ready to take over for Aaron Rodgers? That day I don't think it's going to come until Aaron Rodgers retires.
Yeah.
And I might get, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you cover the Bears, you're a Bears fan. Yeah, I still have to give respect to Aaron Rodgers. He's the best quarterback in this division. There's no doubt about it. I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is ready to overtake him, but Mitchell Trubisky doesn't have to be that good for the Bears to win. If Mitchell Trubisky is better than what he was last season and takes the next step and takes that jump, I think the Bears are a legit Super Bowl contender. You know, they have to stay healthy, obviously, and the defense has to be what it was last year, or maybe just, you know, maybe top five, and as long as Trubisky takes that next step. Yeah, and, you know, the feeling amongst Bears fans is like, you know, I don't think we're ready to say, most of us, we're not ready to say, yeah, Mitchell Trubisky is the best quarterback in this division, because he's not. Anyone that's telling you that is lying or crazy. But at the same time, there's always, like, it kind of feels like Mitchell Trubisky doesn't get the respect, and I think it's more on the national stage where, you know, you got reporters, oh, he's the Blake Bortles of the NFC North, or the whole thing, like, you'd rank him, you know, near the bottom, or whatever PFF does with their weird grades, that always seems to rile up Bears fans.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild. So, yeah, I think Trubisky, you know, if I had to rank him, honestly, I would probably rank Rodgers number one. I think Trubisky and Cousins are right there at two. That's tough. Like, I don't want to say Trubisky's better than Cousins right now. I don't want to say Cousins better than Trubisky because we saw what happened last year. And Stafford's right there too. So I think it's gonna be very interesting. It just all goes back to if Trubisky can take that next step under Matt Nagy, can Matt Nagy put him in situations where he doesn't have to make a mistake? He doesn't always have to go deep. And when he does go deep, can he improve on that deep ball? You know, I think that could be the difference in this division this year. Because, you know, even if Aaron Rodgers is hurt, you know what you're going to get from him. I mean, last year was one of his better years and played pretty much all year with, what, one leg, essentially?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I don't know if we'd agree 100%, but we definitely would agree that if Mitchell Trubisky becomes, you know, like you said, he doesn't need to be great, but if he becomes a good quarterback, I think that's the thing that's really going to just pull the Bears ahead of the NFC North. That's my biggest fear. As good as the defense is, Mitchell Trubisky stepping up is really... That's the thing that scares me the most, and I'm not looking forward to seeing what he does. But all right, let's go to wide receivers, and this one some position groups had a real hard time trying to differentiate, you know, because some teams have multiple that are pretty good. Packers have the one that's really good. The Bears, you know, I don't know about the top guy, but as far as depth, there's a lot there. So what are your thoughts as far as where the Bears are at, first of all, how you like your guys? I know there's been a lot of turnover. You lost a couple, you gained a couple. You've been kind of, I say you, that's just the way I do that. You guys have been adding a lot in free agency the last 2 years. Robinson, Gabriel, you know, the draft with Miller, Cordero Patterson. First of all, why? And then second of all, what do you think about the Bears wide receivers? And then third of all, just kind of the landscape question.
Yeah. So when the Bears, you know, drafted Riley Ridley in the fourth round, you know, I think a lot of people on the outside were shocked. Like, you know, why are they taking a wide receiver this high? They have a lot of depth, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, my answer to that would essentially be, you know, Ryan Pace is guaranteed to do two things in a draft. He's going to take best player available, and he's going to trade down or trade up eventually at some point in the draft. That's pretty much happened every year that he's been here. So I think, you know, Ridley was more of a best player available. Let's add to our wide receiver core a little bit. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think, was a move where, you know, you look at, okay, he's very versatile. He can line up in the backfield. He can line up at wide receiver. He lined up a couple snaps at tight end. Good kick returner. I think that's more of a let's give Matt Nagy another weapon. Like, let's kind of take the workload a little bit off of Tariq Cohen as kind of their gadget back that can do a lot of things. And let's mix in someone like Cordarrelle Patterson, who can help us in special teams and maybe take a little bit of the workload off of Tariq Cohen. As far as the Bears wide receivers stand, I mean, you hit around the head. I think they have the best depth in the NFC North. I think probably the best wide receiver in the NFC North is Davante Adams. I think the Vikings have the best duo with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. But yeah, you know, with the Bears, they don't have that standout. Like, you're going to take Davante Adams, you're going to take Diggs, you're going to take Thielen, you know, over a guy like Allen Robinson. But, and you look at numbers wise, Allen Robinson didn't put up a 1,000-yard season. He was still very, you know, pretty productive. They just have, you know, so many guys that they use in that offense. It's like, I don't think the Bears are going to have a 1,000-yard wide receiver under Matt Nagy. And maybe they don't need it, because if you have, you know, Robinson contributing, you have Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel, Javon Wims, who's been kind of a standout this offseason, got some work with the ones. And then Riley Ridley, I mean, you might not need that 1,000-yard receiver as long as, you know, Trubisky's spreading the ball around, and maybe they, you know, each hover around, you know, 350 to 700 in that range. I mean, not all of them at 700, but hover in that range. It could work out for the Bears. And another thing to keep an eye on, I know you said wide receivers, but take a look at Tariq Cohen this year and see where he lines up a lot, because I think, you know, with Mike Davis and David Montgomery, I think we're going to see Cohen lined up out wide a lot more than he did last year.
Yeah, for sure. One of the hardest ones, at least it wasn't hard outside of the Bears, but looking at running back, because I don't know anything outside of Tariq Cohen. And like you said, I've always kind of viewed him as more of a receiving back than anything else. I thought that was his main – I mean, it is. There's no question that's his number one asset. But now you got Mike Davis, and you drafted David Montgomery, which was just an absolute knife in my heart, because I am a big draft guy, but I'm not like a quote-unquote Twitter scout or whatever. But of the guys I watched, I said on my podcast, David Montgomery is one of the guys that just, you know, gives me chills when I watched him. And of course, not only does he fall, but the Bears get him in the fourth round. So that one hurt quite a bit. But I guess, what are your thoughts on Mike Davis, David Montgomery, kind of the dynamic of the backfield? Another question is, one of the thoughts I had, and I've heard it before, is you shipped off Howard and got David Montgomery. What do you think is the biggest difference in their skill set? Because I know at the beginning of last year there was a lot of talk about, you know, we got to get this guy on the jugs machine. He's got to be a better receiver. Seemed like he wasn't a great fit with Nagy. But I just, in my mind, as much as I love David Montgomery, it feels like he's kind of a Howard-ish kind of guy. So I'm assuming that's not correct. But so your thoughts on that, Mike Davis, and then again, the NFC North landscape.
Yeah, there was a lot of Bears fans that weren't happy when Jordan Howard, you know, left after, you know, Pro Bowl season, a couple thousand yard seasons. Jordan Howard was great for a John Fox offense, I'd say, like where you could put the workload on him and, you know, he's your workhorse running back. He just never really fit with Matt Nagy for whatever reason. And I think, you know, obviously the biggest reason is the hands. I mean, he did struggle the week one 2 years ago. You know, the Bears probably beat the, you know, reigning NFC champion Falcons if Jordan Howard holds on to like a 3 yard pass at the goal line, which he just was just a really bad drop. So as far as David Montgomery, I mean, I think the Bears were looking for a running back that's, you know, I don't want to compare him to this guy just yet because I think there's still a lot he needs to work on in his game. I think their ideal running back is someone that kind of like, you know, the Matt Forte style where he can catch a lot of passes. He's, you know, he's quick on his feet. And I mean, you said you saw a lot of Montgomery, you watched him, and you know, you're kind of upset that they fell to the Bears. The one thing I've heard from a lot of people and I've seen so far, you know, watch him at OTAs and veteran minicamp is he is quick with his feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can cut on a dime and make defenders miss. It is just remarkable. Mike Davis said, you know, he's been watching him out of practice, and he told us, he said, I can't wait till he gets out there in a real game and game speed and just makes a few defenders miss, because watch him in practice is just – it's been a treat. And, you know, we've seen that out there that he's just quick. He gets the ball, he turns up field, and he's pretty much gone. But, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have that breakaway speed, which is something that that Jordan Howard didn't have either. Howard would get brought down a lot from behind. Because he was, you know, kind of a bigger, slower running back. David Montgomery's got a little bit of him in that. But I think, you know, Mike Davis kind of equals him out well. I think the Bears are going to use that three-headed monster in the backfield, you know, with Cohen, Davis, and Montgomery. And then you can even swap in Patterson back there with Cohen. I think, you know, you're going to see a lot. I think week one, you're going to see a lot of formations where it's going to be two running backs, and maybe even three running backs out there, because they don't have a true fullback on this roster right now. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, matching them up with the NFC North, that's kind of tough. You know, Dalvin Cook had a good year last year. He was hurt as most of his rookie season. You really don't know what you're going to get out of the Lions running backs. They can't really seem to stay healthy. And what worries me is, like, what was the biggest thing with the Packers last year on that offense? Mike McCarthy couldn't figure out the running back position. Mm-hmm. And when he left, it's Aaron Jones, isn't it? Yep. It seemed like the Packers could figure it out. And I like Aaron Jones. I've had him on my fantasy team. I think he is a really good running back. I think Aaron Jones has a chance to be probably the best, or if not, you know, number two or number three in the division, which is not, I'm not saying of four running backs. I'm saying of crop of them, which is good. I think it's going to be kind of fun to watch these young running backs in this division and how it all plays out, especially, you know, with a guy like we were talking about, Trey Cohen, lining up all over the damn field. It's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, there's really, you know, the Bears are brand new, but everybody's still kind of a big question mark. Kerryon Johnson looked great for the Lions, but, you know, he got hurt, like you said. Aaron Jones seems to be top-end potential, but he never was given the ball by McCarthy, so we got to see what happens. Plus, he's got some injury issues. And then Dalvin Cook, you know, ask a Vikings fan, he's an elite running back. And he does have some really good traits. He was drafted really high, but we got to see it. He's got a terrible offensive line. What happens if they get him going? I think every team has high potential, but it's a matter of which one's going to put it together, or maybe you just got four garbage run games in the NFC North. I don't know.
Which would be really interesting. Yeah. It could turn into a shootout division almost.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's next? So tight end, you know, not the most exciting, maybe because I'm a Packers fan and we don't have a good one. But so, I don't want to keep prefacing it the same way, but more or less the same thing. There are quite a few questions as far as, you know, I know you've lost a couple. You kind of prefaced it already. I don't know if you've added anyone that I have noticed that you added anyone else, but I guess who's sort of the guy that you're hoping can really pick it up? I know you sort of mentioned it, but kind of go into a little bit more on that, and then any thoughts on the NFC North you have?
Yeah, it's got to be Adam Shaheen. This is a make or break here for him. I mean, he's the ideal, you know, red zone target that you want in a tight end in your offense, especially in an offense like, you know, Matt Nagy's. He could be that, you know, that safety blanket for Mitchell Trubisky. 6'6", 270 pounds. He's got pretty good speed for his size, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy at all. And when he returned last year from his injury, missed eight or nine games. There was a play in that playoff game where when he was normally healthy, he would run through a 5'9", 5'10" defensive back. I don't remember who the defensive back was, but instead he tried to hurdle him, and it didn't work out, and the Bears ended up punting, and it was kind of one of the turning points in the game. Yeah. I wonder if, you know, maybe all the injuries piling up have kind of got to him mentally, but this has got to be his year. They drafted him to come in here and be that blocking and receiving tight end. They got rid of Deion Sims, who was just a disaster. He couldn't contribute anything. Because Trey Burton's not a blocking tight end. He's your primary pass-catching tight end. And other than that, the depth behind them is not very good. They converted Bradley Soule over from the offensive line, but he's not going to go out there and catch, you know, 20 passes. You have Ben Braunecker, who's mainly special teams. And they brought in Utah State's Dax Raymond as an undrafted free agent. But so far in OTAs and Venner minicamp, he's just been, you know, kind of a guy out there. He hasn't really done anything in my eyes to win a roster spot. Could change in training camp. Obviously, it's all amped up, but kind of look at the Bears compared to the NFC North, though. I mean, I don't know what the heck the Packers are going to get out of Jimmy Graham. I think they got a good tight end in Jay Sternberger. I would look around and I'd say, you know, outside of the Bears, I mean, there's a lot of good young tight ends with a lot of potential in this division, because you know you have Kyle Rudolph, who looks like he's gonna stay at the Vikings, and then they drafted Alabama's Irv Smith Jr. And I believe the Lions drafted Hockenson at tight end. So there's a lot of, you know, question marks, I think, going into training camp, going into this year. But I mean, there's some potential for some of these guys to kind of to break out as young tight ends in this division.
Yeah, that's another one that could be real. I mean, you know, and I tried to be unbiased, but I pre-draft Jay Sternberger was another guy like David Montgomery that I was super excited about. So I'm trying not to act like he's going to be better than everybody else, because I understand he's a third-round guy and you drafted that late for a reason.
But I was actually hoping the Bears were going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, I'm excited, but yeah, you compare him with T.J. Hockenson and Irv Smith, and it's, you know, like you said, we've seen Shaheen play well. It's just a matter of, like you said, can he kind of, you know, get it all together and be consistent and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think like running back, that's another one that could be a fun one to see. It feels like an arms race in the NFC North right now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's just do offensive line as a whole. I'm not going to do tackles and centers and everything else.
Yeah, no problem.
So I feel like, you know, I like what the Packers have, but when I did a dive, I was kind of looking at stats and everything else. I was trying to basically prove the Packers are better than everyone. But stats-wise, the Bears are just out of control, not just in the NFC North, but in the NFL. And some of it is, you know, they didn't throw quite as much as other teams. But as far as how few times Trubisky was hit, sacked, and everything else, it seems like the Bears' offensive line is really, really good. There's some movement, guys moving positions and leaving. I think you lost a couple guys. One of them was a backup. I'm not really sure. I'll let you comment on that, but overall it seems like this thing's pretty well dialed in. What are your thoughts on the Bears offensive line?
Yeah, so the Bears, you know, brought back all five of their starters. They did make a position change. James Daniels, the second year guy out of Iowa, is now the center, his natural position, and Cody Whitehair goes back to guard, his natural position, out of Kansas State. Yeah, and then you get Kyle Long back, who has looked pretty healthy. This is his first healthy offseason since, I think, his second year in the league. And then you get the tackles. I think, you know, Charles Leno is one of the more underrated tackles in this division. And you have Bobby Massey, who's probably, if you had to rank him, I'd say Bobby Massey's probably at the bottom among the Bears starters. So, yeah, the Bears kept Trubisky clean. I think they did a great job in the run game last year. And if you look, they went up against some pretty good defensive lines. I mean, they had to go up against Minnesota twice. They went up against L.A. You know, the Giants had a pretty good defensive line, and for the most part, they held their own. I mean, I was super impressed with James Daniels, a young kid. I talked to him after one of the games. It was the L.A. game, and he pretty much spent 10 to 12 minutes just breaking down how he did not let Aaron Donald get a single sack or even, I mean, I think he didn't even give up a pressure to Aaron Donald, which is just insane, you know, your first year in the league. So he's very smart. I would say my one big takeaway with him, I think he has a chance to be a star in this league. He is super smart with his technique and hand placement. And he listens. He learns from all the guys. So I'm confident the Bears were offensive line. And I think another part of it is, you know, the Bears like to get that ball out of Trubisky's hands quick. They don't want him sitting back there. And even when he has to sit back there an extra second, he's already gone scrambling.
Sure.
So he's got that working with him. Yeah, overall, I mean, you know, the thing about the Packers offensive line from an outsider's perspective, I'd have to say is, are they going to be able to keep the pocket clean for Aaron Rodgers? I think personally, what I saw last year, they struggled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bakhtiari is probably the ideal tackle in this division. He's probably the top tackle in this division. And then you look at like Minnesota, and it was just pretty much a turnstile.
Right. Yeah.
for them on the outside. I mean, like, I don't want to say I felt bad, but oh, man, like watching Riley Reiff and like, oh, God, it was brutal.
That's how you know things are bad, is when you start to feel sorry for them. That's right. When things have just gotten out of control. And I will interject one more thing here, too, is whatever anybody has to say about Ryan Pace, and I know Bears fans love him, and what, with the exception of my good friend who's a Bears fan and hates him, but
oh, no.
I there have been several people in drafts that are just kind of like my guys. Ryan Pace is picking them all, and James Daniels is one of them. I keep – there's always a guy that's like, come on, Packers, get him, get him. And Ryan Pace keeps taking all of them. It's driving me – who's the other one? Let's see. Who's your nose tackle that you got?
Goldman?
Goldman, yep.
Yeah,
man, I really like – it got him too. It's like, come on. And then in the fourth round, you get my running back. So Pace is just – he's, for whatever other things that he's doing right, he's absolutely infuriating me. So he's got that going on.
He's done a good job in like the later rounds of the draft. Obviously, you know, the verdict's, I'd say, is still out on Trubisky by trading up to get him right now. Yeah. You know, Kevin White did not work out, but I mean, he found Jordan Howard in the fifth round. He's found a guy like Cody Whitehair who traded back twice to get. It's from, and then the free agency, man, it's like getting a guy like Akeem Hicks. For how they did, for how cheap they did, it's unbelievable.
Yep. So I guess before we officially transition to defense, overall in the NFC North, as far as offenses, which ones do you think are kind of dialed in, and which ones are kind of, you know, Bears, what's your own personal perspective, but of the other teams, which ones kind of scare you, and which ones are you kind of thinking, nah, it will be all right? I know the Bears defense can handle just about anything, but which one is the little scary for you?
Man, see, that's tough because, you know, anytime I think it's kind of natural, you know, the Bears play the Packers, you're kind of like, you're just waiting for that Aaron Rodgers moment where he just like rips our hearts out. So that's never going to go away. I like I said, I feel a little more comfortable with this Bears defense,
right.
But there's still that notion in the back of my head. As far as like scare me, you know, I've said a lot of bad about Kirk Cousins and laughed at him. If he turned it on and that Vikings offense got going, I'd be scared. That's probably the one just because of the receivers on the outside and Rudolph. And then, like you mentioned before, if Delvin Cook really gets going, that could be huge. But their offensive line's so bad that, I'm not expecting that to happen. Then the Lions are just, I don't know, they're the Lions. Like, Stafford could have, like, he could have a huge year, but it's like, you know, they could still find ways to lose games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a completely different perspective from where you're at. As a Packer fan, everybody scares me. The Cardinals kicked our teeth in last year, so I'm scared of everybody. So,
but I mean, at least you have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you have to feel a little comfortable that you're at least like in the game.
Yeah, no, we'll get the points back. It's just like, oh no, their offense is back on the field. All right, let's do defense now because cornerback. This is one of the ones that got me to really respect fan. I mean, there's a lot of things, but this one really kind of blew me away because the corners were playing out of their mind. And especially, I mean, Kyle Fuller, you look at and go, okay, he's gotten progressively better every single year, but you expect that. It's Kyle Fuller. You know, he's just meeting his potential finally. But Prince Amukamara probably played the best he's ever played, and he's been in the league for 800 years. So it's like he takes everybody, no matter who they are, and just is really getting the best out of everybody. But so I guess thoughts on the corners. Are you any bit concerned? I know you lost your defensive back coach and had him replaced. I think assistant defensive back coach Vic Fangio poached one of the two, losing your slot corner. And then I also had another question because I know you took a shot at PFF, but that's something that I reference a lot. They really, really like Sherrick McManus. I don't know anything about him. I never hear anyone mention him. What is his deal? And then again, NFC North.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start off with McManus. You know, primary special teams, he did fill in nicely last season when Callahan went down. I mean, he was targeted. You could see the Eagles. That final play the Eagles scored on, if Callahan's in the game, I think Callahan does a lot better on that route. That was just kind of – it's not McManus's fault either. You know, he's the longest-tenured Bear. He's primarily a special teams contributor. So I actually like the rookie they drafted out of Kansas State, Duke Shelley.
Sure.
Who I think is eventually going to take over for Buster Skrine. I'm not very confident in that signing. And I could see Shelley just kind of taking over in the nickel spot. But yeah, I mean, you hit it right in the head. Fangio got the most out of, you know, both Prince Amukamara, Kyle Fuller. You expect Fuller to play well because he's a first rounder, but I mean, we're kind of quick to forget. A couple of years ago, he was very close to being cut from this roster. He missed an entire season.
Right.
They didn't want to rush him back with the knee and I believe it was Fangio that actually came out publicly and kind of criticized him. And, you know, it was kind of eye-opening because you really don't hear Vic do that. And then, you know, we find out a year later that Vic and Kyle now have built this incredible friendship and they love to golf together and all this stuff. And, Kyle comes out and has a career year, and now it looks like he's going to be really damn good at cornerback for the Bears for a long time. The worry I would have with, you know, the Bears cornerbacks or starters, if one of them goes down, I'm not very sold on the depth behind them. They have second year guy Kevin Tolliver. I think he's, you know, out of LSU, I think he's done pretty well in OTAs and veteran minicamp. But you're looking at a situation where if, you know, Kyle Fuller goes down, you're asking a young player to come in and start on the outside right away, and I just wouldn't feel comfortable with that. Looking on the other side, if, you know, behind Prince Amukamara, I think they might, you know, if he were to go down, they might, you know, move in Buster Skrine or even McManus. And I think that's a big drop-off. I think Fuller and Amukamara are really good, and anyone behind him right now as it stands obviously could change is a pretty big drop-off for them. We've kind of gone back to look at this division. You have to have good corners, I think, to succeed because of the quarterback play. With a guy like Rodgers and Stafford and Cousins, if you get good cornerback play, you'll be in good hands. I think that's kind of what actually hurt the Vikings defense a little more last year is you kind of know about Xavier Rhodes, but he wasn't even himself for most of the season. And then, you know, opposite Trey Waynes has kind of been a disappointment. They lost Mike Hughes. Don't know what you're going to get with Mackenzie Alexander. And then you look at Green Bay and their cornerbacks. I think they actually have promising young corners with Alexander and blanking on the other. Is it Jackson?
King. Yeah, there's pretty much everybody's really young.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they have a chance. If they break out, that defense would be a little better. So I'd still have to say I'd give it to the Bears right now, kind of the best unit. Obviously, you know, that could change. But just from what I saw last year, I think, you know, the Bears continue to get better, and I don't expect really much of a drop-off.
All right, I guess we'll get it out of the way. Let's talk about safeties.
Okay, I thought you were going to bring up something else. I'll wait till that.
All right.
No, I thought you were going to bring up special teams.
Oh. No, I don't know. Maybe I'll rub it in a little later. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see what you have to say about
the safeties. So, and we were going to talk about this a while ago, but there's the soon-to-be kind of a big thing in week one, but HaHa Clinton Dix and Adrian Amos essentially swapped teams. Now, obviously, we got to ask the question of, as far as the safety groups, which one's better. The Bears have an incredible safety group, regardless of what happened with Amos and HaHa Clinton Dix, just because Eddie Jackson's there. But I guess comment on your thoughts as far as HaHa Clinton Dix and Amos. I'm a lot more pro Amos than most Packer fans, but I'm also a lot more pro, or excuse me, more pro Amos than Bears fans, more pro HaHa than most Packers fans. But I'm curious what your thoughts are as far as that swap, how you're feeling about Amos, what you think about HaHa, and then again, the NFC North as far as the safeties as best as you can.
So is it kind of possible that like both Amos and HaHa might be like on the same level? Maybe
no.
Or maybe
absolutely.
Maybe Amos
that's not
is
allowed.
A little?
No. We can't say that. I think that's.
Is it illegal to? Is it?
We're
gonna make
angry.
Some.
You have to scream. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you've probably seen a lot of it on Twitter too about the whole Amos and HaHa debate. I think Amos is a good player. And I think, you know, he might be an upgrade over HaHa. I'm willing to go that far in saying that. I do think though. I've seen some other fans point this out. When you look at Adrian Amos and you look at the safety position, I think Eddie Jackson may have made Adrian Amos a little better back there. I think he gave him more flexibility to kind of play more to his strengths, whereas Eddie Jackson kind of fly around and he was just kind of the do-it-all safety. And it was a little more like, you know, safer route with Adrian Amos. The thing I would – If I had to give you guys a warning, don't expect a lot of turnovers,
right.
Takeaways from Adrian Amos.
I think we understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had three or four his entire career. So, yeah, as far as HaHa, though, going back and looking at him, man, the tackling is what kind of worries me.
Yeah.
I think Adrian Amos was very good in the run. I think coming up and stopping the run, he was very good. He really got, like, no one ever like trucked him over. It was hard, you know, it was kind of hard to run through one of his, you know, of his tackles. So yeah, that's what actually really worries me about Clinton Dix. We'll see, because, you know, they kind of like HaHa and Eddie Jackson, they're very familiar with each other. They played at Alabama. Mm-hmm. They're good friends. They kind of have like a swagger back there.
Right.
So I don't know if that's actually going to be to the Bears' advantage, or maybe it's just kind of just something we just won't see or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting that week one, because, you know, you know what the fans are going to say. It's natural. I don't blame them. But yeah, we'll see how it works out in the long term. Because what was was Amos's deal 3 years, 4 years?
I think it was four.
Four, and HaHa's obviously on that 1 year deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see. What was the other part of the question? I'm sorry.
Just the rest of the rest of the NFC North. If you had any thoughts, that one's another tough one as far as looking, because there's a lot of changes that are going on as far as safeties.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got your studs back there. You know, Eddie Jackson's back there. For Minnesota, it's Harrison Smith, who's always he's been really damn good for the Vikings. Quadre Diggs is, I guess, I don't know if I'd call him like a stud, but he's all right back there. And then Green Bay, actually, I'm actually very intrigued with Darnell Savage. I thought he would have been a good fit for the Bears in the draft, but I'm excited to see what he can do. I think he's a if he can be that playmaking safety back there and kind of take the pressure off Amos in a way, I think Green Bay will be fine in that secondary.
Yeah, we're all pretty excited too. All right, let's talk about linebackers.
Yep.
I know the Bears, I'm assuming, are feeling pretty comfortable. The one question I guess I would be curious about is, what were your thoughts about Roquan's performance last year? And then, you know, in my mind, he wasn't nearly at his potential, but he has the potential to be very, very good. So thoughts on Roquan, excitement about Roquan, and then, again, NFC North, any likes, dislikes as far as, you know, the Packers go. I don't think I ranked us all too high, because it's basically Blake Martinez and then a bunch of punching bags out there. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Roquan Smith, fast. Really, really fast and really smart. No training camp. No preseason, comes in right away, gets the sack on, who was the backup? Kaiser. And, yeah, then from after that week one game, I mean, he just pretty much took over the starting spot from, you know, week two on versus Seahawks. And the thing I know is, I'm actually writing something, doing a little film review on him, is he got a lot better in pass coverage. Going back to, I think it was like week 7 or 8 against the Bills, he really started to like kind of struggle in pass coverage. But from that point on, I mean, he kind of turned things around, and by the end of the year, he actually improved drastically in pass coverage, which is big, you know, for a middle linebacker in Chicago. Yeah, I'm excited to see what Roquan can do. He's gonna handle the play calling duties. This is Danny Trevathan's final year of his contract, so we'll see how he performs next to the young second year guy in Roquan. I think the Bears are pretty solid at the middle linebacker position. I really like what they have in Roquan. As far as the rest of the division, I'm actually very intrigued by Rashawn Gary. I'm intrigued on what if the Packers are primarily going to use him as the pass rusher. Because they do have Za'Darius Smith and Blake Martinez. So I don't know. And who's the other? Preston Smith? Is he the other outside?
Yeah, I got the other outside is Preston. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know, maybe you could touch on Gary a bit, but that's the guy I'm actually very intrigued on, because you know what the Vikings have. I mean, they got Kendricks and Barr over there, and then the Lions actually, you know, they have, actually a former Bear, they have Christian Jones, who was either provided some good depth, and then the Florida kid, Jared Davis, who I thought was going to be pretty damn good coming out. But yeah, I'm actually intrigued. I guess I'll kind of flip the question on you. What do you think is going to happen with Rashawn Gary?
He's going to be, I think a lot of Packer fans think he's going to spend a lot of time as an inside defensive lineman, and kind of split his time with defensive line and outside linebacker. I think a lot of it is because he didn't produce a lot in college, and there's a lot of questions about, can he handle being a pass rushing outside linebacker? Maybe he'd be a little better inside. I don't actually agree with that, and I think that's what the coaches have kind of alluded to, that's nonsense. Now, who knows? They're obviously always going to say that's not true. He's great at everything he does, because it's early and you want to hype him up. But I actually don't think he was all that good inside. I think he got pushed around too much. With his athleticism, I think they're going to try to coach him up, and he's going to spend, I think, most of his time on the outside. But our, you know, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, likes to shuffle guys around a lot. I mean, Kenny Clark sometimes is going to be a down-out, you know, defensive end. Mike Daniels is a defensive end. Za'Darius is going to spend probably, I would guess, at least half of his time as a down defensive lineman. I think the biggest question is, and the way I would hope it turns out, is you're probably going to have Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith rushing the passer, Za'Darius Smith, Kenny Clark, and Mike Daniels with their hand in the dirt as defensive linemen. I think that's my guess would be that's going to be the primary thing. But you're going to have just – they're just pieces, and that's what they like to do the most. Use them as pieces, move them every which way that you can is kind of how I think they're going to play that.
That makes sense. And kind of just work Gary in as he fits.
Pretty much, yeah. And, it, you know, the rotation. They want to keep guys fresh and make sure there's always a healthy rotation of guys out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that.
So since we're talking about it, I guess we can kind of combine it because I kind of did that mm-hmm. when I did mine anyways, looking at interior and edge rushers. So, you know, defensive ends slash outside linebackers. So for the Bears, you've got Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman, very, very good defensive linemen. Obviously, Khalil Mack is probably hands down best pass rusher in the division. Other guys that you kind of like, because those that's kind of where my, you know, being polite it ends, because I don't have a huge amount of respect for guys like Aaron Lynch. But as far as the overall defensive line, run defense, pass rush, what are your thoughts on these guys and the unit, the depth? And then beyond that, it's kind of hard for the Packers because it's all new, right? Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, that era is over. We got Preston, Za'Darius, Rashawn, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels. The Vikings, I think, are kind of intriguing because they got their one guy, but they also got a second guy, and it's a matter of can he kind of get his stuff together. And, you know, he has got some off-the-field issues that he's working through, but, you know, he's a very, very good pass rusher as well, Danielle Hunter. And then the Lions went out and got Trey Flowers, who, you know, probably more known as a run defender, but very, very good pass rusher. So now every single team has their guy and has their you know, calling. You know, the Packers maybe don't have the guy, but they got a bunch of guys. So brand new landscape, especially if we go back over the last 2 years. What are your thoughts on the defensive fronts across the NFC North, and particularly touch on the Bears unit?
So going to the Bears, kind of a guy that I really like and a lot of Bears fans liked last year. Bilal Nichols going into his second year is going to be someone to definitely watch. Even if you're, you know, a fan of another team in the division, because the Bears got that rotation. You know, they have Akeem Hicks, they have Eddie Goldman, they have Roy Robertson Harris, who gives them good, you know, good snaps. But then you work in a guy, you know, like Bilal Nichols. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, they got this guy in the fifth round? Like, sure. How on earth did they get that? I mean, he made some plays last year that the one he made against Arizona was like a third and one, and the Cardinals were coming down. I think they either had the lead or were threatening to score, and he just bursted through the backfield and stopped the running back for like a three-yard loss. That was kind of like, okay, I'm here. I can play in the NFL. That was his moment. And, you know, he had a couple against the Patriots, and late in the year – I think it was just like the Vikings or Lions. He had a couple of big plays, and from everything I've heard, he's been the guy that's really looked the most improved on that defense going into this year with the offseason activities and everything like that. And that's just, I mean, if he gives you anything, that's just even adding even more to what I think is really good defensive line. You know, opposite of Cleo Mack, you said it, Mack's probably the best pass rusher in this division. I mean, if they can get, you know, if they can get that 10-sack season from Leonard Floyd, that will be huge.
Yeah.
He's yet to have one. He's been hampered by injuries almost every year. He's just if he can have that big breakout season and get those 10 sacks, I mean, the Bears defense could be even better than they were last year. Now, he's a good cover linebacker on the outside, on the edge, when he's asked to cover running backs and tight ends. Ideally, you don't want him to. But, I mean, he's a lot faster than he looks. He's very, you know, skinny and lean, so He's got some speed on him, but yeah, if he can get you those 10 sacks, man, that would just be huge and kind of take the pressure off of Khalil Mack. Looking around, I mean, I agree with everything you pretty much said about the pass rushers. I think every team has their guy. You know, every team kind of has their standout pass rusher, and then they have guys behind them that are, You know, if they could elevate their play, it would make each unit more dangerous. Obviously, Minnesota is probably up there close with the Bears. I'd say the closest with the talent on that pass rush with, you know, Griffin and Hunter, and then you have Linval Joseph on the inside. And Green Bay's just got, you know, a bunch of guys with good depth. You know, Kenny Clark and you got Smith, the two Smiths running on the outside. It's going to be interesting, though, because with this division, I think, you know, you see what you have in the offense is obviously, you know, the question mark going in for Green Bay would obviously be how the new offense is going to impact Aaron Rodgers, how it all meshes. Can the Bears take that next step in Matt Nagy's offense? What's it going to be like for Patricia and the Lions offense? And then if Kirk Cousins can just figure anything out, the Vikings might have a better chance. So, I mean, not to be mean, it's just how it, you know, if he can figure things out. So, yeah, but and you can counter that with the pass rushes and the defensive lines on the opposite side because, you know, once those offenses get better, if you have those defensive lines to kind of combat that, I mean, it could end up being a wild division down to the stretch.
All right, so we're going to do back-to-back. I want to pin you down a little bit and get defense overall, which shouldn't be all that hard to figure out. But then team overall, and just try to think 2019, what are kind of your expectations or thoughts as far as where you see the division lining up and maybe kind of what teams need? You kind of just touched on it, but what you see, want each team to be able to do in order to, you know, what's it going to take to get to the top of the NFC North? So defense first and then just kind of overall team scope.
Yeah, I think obviously the Bears have probably the best defense in the division. I'd say Minnesota's behind them. And then I'd probably have Green Bay and Detroit neck and neck behind Minnesota. I think Detroit has a chance to maybe pass Green Bay, depending on what Patricia does with that defense. His first year last year, you know, it just felt like they were that testing out mode. They still have some playmakers, you know, Darius Slay, and obviously you mentioned Flowers and Davis. If they get anything out of Diggs and the other safety Walker. But, yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be a storyline for the Packers is that defense back there. As far as do you want kind of like predictions or just?
Yeah, whatever you want. Dealer's choice.
Okay, I hate doing predictions right now because it's just, you know, it's hard. Anything can happen, obviously. One injury could change this division. I think going into it, the Bears are the favorites. I don't think many would probably disagree just because of what they did last year. I think Minnesota – of all the teams, has the best chance to unseat them right now. I just, with the Packers, and I don't know if you can maybe speak more to this, I don't know if this relationship with Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur is going to, I don't know if it's going to explode or if it's going to be something like really good. Like, I'm actually worried it's going to be something really good. But then every time I check online or like I get a story sent to me, it's like, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on up there? And the Lions, I don't see them winning the division. So I think, you know, obviously, the ceiling for the Packers, you know, is everything goes right with LaFleur and Rodgers, and they figure it out, and they kind of like, in their own way, is maybe like a version of what the Bears were last year, where they kind of catch some teams by surprise. And then the Vikings, I just think, you know, if they put it together, I think they have the best chance of unseating the Bears. I think the Bears have a pretty difficult schedule, especially in the last part of the season. I think they got L.A., L.A., Minnesota, and Kansas City all in December, and I think Dallas, like, right before December, like, those four and, like, the last five, which is – that's a brutal stretch, which actually, you know, it might decide the division come down to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's – you know, as far as you mentioned the LaFleur and Rodgers thing, my biggest thing, you know, maybe, I don't know, who knows what's going to happen. It's kind of the whole Al Davis just win, right? If the Packers are winning – they're going to get along great. If the Packers,
and it goes away.
Yeah, exactly. And if same with the locker room. Any locker room issues, if they start winning, suddenly they're magically fixed. And
exactly.
If they're losing, yeah, there's going to be tension. Aaron Rodgers is going to get snippy at the microphone. He's going to look all pouty on the field. It's going to be the same routine. Just make it work. And in that way, as much as the Packers' schedule isn't normally ideal, essentially it's all home games at the beginning of the season and all away games at the end. Normally that's a horrible schedule, but considering the Packers really need to get off to a good start early, I think that's kind of ideal. So they need to be able to stack some wins and even though it's pretty tough games, you know, Bears away is incredibly hard. Vikings, a lot of tough teams, but being a lot of home games, I think, is going to help to hopefully get stack up enough wins, get that relationship, get that rapport and that flow going in the offense.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, from an outsider standpoint, obviously, I mean, you guys probably know more than we do, you know, about everything that's going on. It's just, it's wild. Like, it's just all those reports you see on and the Glazer thing where he thinks it's going to, like, continue to go and build up even more. It's just like, it's really, it's like, not to, like, rub it in your guys' faces or anything. I'm not trying to do anything like that, but it's just like, we're usually on that side of, like, you know, like when we had Jay Cutler and the feuds he had with the offensive coordinators, it's like, oh, this can happen to other teams. and this can happen to, like, up to our, to the team up north that's been kicking our ass the last, you know, 10 or so years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's wild, man. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, a lot of it, you know, could say it's a bias or whatever. A lot of it is just blown up. I think that's the thing because they found the chink in the armor for Aaron Rodgers. So now they're just keep poking. So the latest thing is it's not a problem yet. I think it's a potential problem. The whole he wants to call his plays and LaFleur wants to not give him that freedom. I think they both acknowledge that both things are true, right? You do want Aaron Rodgers to have that freedom, mm-hmm. but also we need this system. So it's a matter of can they find the middle ground. I don't think they're in the back fighting. Nobody said that right now, but people are trying to make it out to seem that way. So I'll say it's a potential problem down the road if they can't find a middle ground, but I don't see any reason to say that as of right now it's actually a problem that's manufactured by the Glazers of the world.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's, like you said, it's just because, you know, we've never seen it with Aaron Rodgers, and now it's like they finally found...
Right, and it is unusual for us because, you know, I'm sure you know because it made you guys sick, but, you know, you go back 5 years ago and they couldn't stop talking about how great Aaron Rodgers is and they're gushing over him and the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl every year, and all of a sudden for us it's like, hey, wait a minute, first of all, why aren't you talking about us? And second of all, when you are, you're saying bad stuff. I don't know what's going on here, but I don't like it. So, it's a different feel.
It's really different. It's odd, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I got anything else. I don't know if you have any closing remarks or anything as far as what's going on with the season. I'm definitely excited to be a part of the network. I look forward to working with you quite a bit in the future. And definitely Packers fans. I know I've got a diehard group that listen, and I'm sure you do too. If you want to know anything about the Bears or whatever, it's a really good podcast. I've actually referenced it a few times because there's quite a few gems that I've gotten out of it. So anytime you guys want to listen and find out what's going on with the Bears, definitely check out that podcast. But, yeah, any thoughts or anything that you had, go ahead.
I actually think this year is going to be a lot more interesting of a division than last season. I think, you know, the NFL with the parity is so hard to go out and dominate, you know, a division every year unless you're the Patriots or, you know, you have a game changer like Aaron Rodgers over the last, you know, prior to last year, the last 5 or 6 years who've, you know, they've kind of been the favorites going in there. So I think it's going to be – I don't want to – like, I'm predicting the Bears to win the division if I had to right now, and I don't want to sound like a homer or anything. But I think – oh, wow. Just lightning. so I think it's just going to be more of – it's going to be a more competitive division, I think, I want to say, than what many expect. I think a lot of people think the Bears might run away with it, but I think, you know, Green Bay and Minnesota might shock some people.
I don't know if you guys caught that, but he said the Bears are going to win the division, and then God just laughed at him. So.
Yeah, perfect timing, right?
All right, man. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's pretty awesome, and like I said, I look forward to working with you in the future.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Anytime you want to do it, man, I'm down.
Sounds good.